What are you doing, Davey Hudson?
This song, man. I don't know.
Do we love it now?
Not yet.
Now that Butch Jones is
not
gone?
Not yet. Although, I don't know.
It's a good song, maybe? I don't know.
Is this a good song?
It's better since Butch has been gone.
But he's right here. He's looking at me. Is this when we tell people that we have secured?
Yeah, what is that? The
Butch Jones?
The 5 times normal size cardboard cutout of Butch Jones? Oh, Butch, were you 6'2"? No. How tall is that thing? Things up there. We need to measure it.
Caroline, how tall are you? 5'4". All right, Caroline's going to stand beside the Butch Jones cardboard cutout. What do you think, Houston?
6'4".
What is
Look at that thing.
Yeah, she's even got boots on. Like, look at this. He's at least 6 foot.
Fake news.
He's also covered in Gatorade, so we know that's...
The only Gatorade he's ever been covered in.
It was kind of weird that there was the little splotchy Gatorade stuff on his cardboard cutout.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, He's looking right at me.
I'm going to have to close the door
of
the studio.
I do like that song more now that I feel like the direction of the program is good.
Yeah, that's true.
The heading has improved.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have our heading.
Yeah, I'll
you'll allow it?
I'll allow it for now. I mean, I'm not going to bump it in the car driving down the strip or anything like that.
Is this when we do the Vow for Life segment? Or the
I don't think people like the Vow for Life. And she's gone. I don't want to talk about her anymore. It makes me very, very sad. It
hurts your feelings.
Listen, Vow wasn't a... She was a...
Oh, we were going to...
almost called her an American treasure, but she's an English treasure.
She's British.
She's a British treasure.
Yeah. Well, they wanted us to sub out the... I don't know what you call the Oregonian comments. Like non-gas pumpers for life. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I will not pump gas my entire life.
Yeah.
I think my grandmother was one of those because my grandfather would always, you know, pump the gas. So, like, he passed away. She has no idea. That's Oregon complaining
about
something like that.
That's really a downer
on
this Friday.
Speaking of sadness, let's go to the phone lines and bring on the Bear. He's always good to cheer us up. Bear, what's up, buddy?
Uh-oh.
What the hell's up with that Butch Jones cutout thing? It's creeping us out.
It's creeping me
out.
Where did it come from? Who thought that would be a good idea?
Nate.
Well, surely there's some way we can make some video do something with it.
I had a backup plan to get one in case Nate didn't come through, but this one was Nate's idea.
Can I draw on it?
I think we're going to go thought bubble, Bear. So we'll go whiteboard beside him, and that way you can put whatever you think is in his head, just write it up there, and everybody will get a chance to
blank.
Be creative.
As long as we don't do a major league type thing, I'm good.
Leave it blank.
Yeah, we're thinking going like Rachel Phelps from Major League, where every time Tennessee wins a game, we peel a section to reveal Butch Jones.
What if we cut off
to reveal Butch Jones in the girdle?
What if like for every 2 wins, we take an arm off? We just amputate.
We don't peel a section. We just
the damn thing this afternoon over the station.
You know what I just realized, Bear?
On a periscope.
What's that?
We were talking about how he's taller in this cardboard cutout than even in real life. And to your credit, you were the first one to at least point that out to me. And the reason that you know that's true without a shadow of a doubt is he's holding a Tennessee football helmet. And the helmet itself is enormous. Like, there is no way that even, like, Khalil McKenzie's head would take up that entire helmet.
Yeah,
so it's obviously...
That helmet would be too big on Rush.
It's obviously an image that's been completely blown up. Even the Coca-Cola he's holding in his hand, I think, is bigger than the 20-ounce
version. It's like a 2-liter version. And they zoomed in on it.
I mean, so it's not actual life size. I don't know.
Right.
Very odd. Very odd.
Should we print out a picture of Pruitt and just...
Slap it on his face? Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I like Pruitt.
I like Pruitt's face. That red face grin. I don't know, man.
It's an homage, Bear. It's an homage to Butch Jones because he helped us build Fox Sports
an
Knoxville.
Homage? You mean an homage?
What? I thought I said it right. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Homage and homage are the same thing.
Yeah.
The H is silent. That's the important thing.
But, you know, I mean, we called Butch Jones a loser first. Some people didn't think we were very smart at that point, but then you know, now we're popular because we were right.
So well, yeah, we were right.
It just helps us remember.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Maybe we'll burn
creepy.
It.
I'm just saying.
It could become the dartboard company. Dartboard. How's that? bring in some darts, you know, in between segments. You need to blow off a little steam, see if you can hit him right between the eyes. I don't know.
I was just curious. Nobody seemed to know where it came from.
I had a lead on one.
Butch Jones doesn't follow rules. He just appears.
He just shows up.
Nate went into the bathroom and said his name three times into the mirror. And next thing you know.
Good Lord. Well, you boys have a good weekend. Duke sucks, Davey Hudson.
Now that's how you flush him.
You
wait
go.
Till he earns it.
There you
and
go.
Then you pop him down the drain. Nice job, Davey. Butch Jones. Butch Jones. Butch Jones. Showtime. We need to get him like a striped jacket suit.
You guys can tweet us at Fox Sports Knox. What should we do with the more than life-size Butch Jones cardboard cutout we have now at the studio?
You know he had something to do with this.
The size of it?
Yeah. Right? You know that he was like, can we make me bigger? Can I look bigger in this?
Bigger than life, literally.
Yeah. I would like to be twice my size. In this cardboard cutout.
He probably angled for like a blimp type of like parade balloon, like in the Macy's or in the, of himself, instead of just that.
Someone sent this in. They did the Gruden.
Nice.
Just Pruitt at LC Panther. He put the Gruden mask over Butch. Is that autograph? Who are the autographs there?
Derek Barnett. Go Panthers.
Look at the autographs on this one, though. See Derek Barnett? I mean, you can't get rid of that one.
Did you say LC Panthers? Proud alum here.
Oh, really? I don't know what you're talking about.
You said LC Panther.
LC Panther 41.
That's this guy on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Right. So you guys are you know, high school kin.
Yeah, see, he did a good job, though. See, I can't tell who all the autographs are, but I see Derek Burnett right there over the Coke bottle. That's a good one. You can't throw that one away. It's got to be on there forever.
That's pretty good.
Alvin Kamara also signed this cardboard cutout.
He's zooming in on it for you.
Butch fooled us again. Mm. Fooled us again by letting people sign his shirt that are way more popular than he is. Man, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, I don't know what we do with that.
T-Carp says it should have its own chair and a segment of Butch's chart should be made.
Ask him the really tough questions and see how he responds. Oh, the exact same way he did in real life with... I don't know.
Basically, what you talk about in-game situations, you ask Butch what he thinks. That's pretty funny. I don't know. We have a Butch Jones, a cardboard cutout in the station here. We don't know what to do with it.
It was a gift.
It was a gift. One of our loyal listeners gave it to us.
I wonder how many of these exist and how many we could possibly acquire.
Now that
like what are there like 100 of these circulating that people have? Like obviously this one signed by Derek Barnett. I don't want to take that one from LC Panther, but could we get like 15 to 20 Butch Jones cardboard cutouts in the station? Is that possible? Could we build a small Butch Jones army? Could we film each other being horrified when you walk into the bathroom and there's a Butch Jones cardboard cutout?
Every
just
corner there's
at
a Butch Jones.
Yeah, just,
oh. Hey. My wife and kids freaked out because he was at our house for, like, I got him on a Sunday afternoon, and I brought him to the station.
You're saying him. It's
day.
A thing. It's weird. Say the cutout.
The cutout.
You can't say him. It's not real. You're confusing people.
The cutout's more real than he is.
That's a good line. I put the Butch Jones cardboard cutout in the dining room. They were gone when the cutout arrived. And so they walk in the dining room, and like the first eight times you walk in there, it's like, oh God, intruder.
I had the Bruce Pearl cardboard cutout in college. And when you walk in the door to my apartment, you see through the kitchen, through the bar cutout, and that's where we put him. So you walk into the house, turn the light on, and it's Bruce Pearl at the end of the kitchen looking at you. Everybody was just like, oh! We always knew when someone would try to come in quietly because you wouldn't hear the door open, but then you'd hear him go, oh! Oh, it's Bruce. But the Bruce was half the size of this Butch Jones gigantor cutout here. What type of personality do you have to say, I would like a life-size cardboard cutout? And then you see it. I would like the cardboard cutout to be 1.5 life-size. Thank you. It's like, hey, do you like my cardboard cutout of Butch Jones? Where is it? Behind the couch. Oh, is it laying down? No. Standing up. You just can't see him. He's short. Shorty Butch.
That Tennessee helmet's the size of my entire torso.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, what an odd – like, what does that conversation look like?
and make sure you blow that thing up.
Coach, normally these things are right around 6 feet tall. Is that good? No, 6'2".
He's that type of person.
I know. That's why I'm saying, like, it's so odd. Because I almost have to believe that he said, this needs to be bigger. I don't want to look like a tiny man.
He's got tiny feet. He's self-conscious.
Tiny hands, too.
Tiny hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe they realize
Lil Fuego. Lil Fuego tweets it and says, I used to have a cardboard Butch cutout of him holding a Coke Zero. It fell into a fire after the Vanderbilt game last year. Maybe that's it. Maybe we can get 15 of them.
Yeah.
And just circle them around and some type of inflammatory liquid.
Well, I mean, they want people to see these, so they were usually probably posted up in like
grocery stores.
So
yeah.
They, I mean,
anywhere
they had to make it bigger.
Coke.
They
had
to make it bigger so people could see it.
Yeah. Good point by you, Davey. Tweet us at Fox Sports Knox.
I want to acquire
these. Okay, if you have a Butch Jones cardboard cutout that you would like to donate to Fox Sports Knoxville.
We should have him take him to National RX today and deliver him live. Live
to
Russell.
Just give him to Bear.
Just keep delivering him to the drive today at National RX. Just get – I'd take him. I'd do something with him.
Yeah.
I don't know what yet, but we can have some fun.
Just stalk Bear and just randomly hand him to him at different times.
Just set him up around.
He's
Bear's
walking to the grocery store and then boom.
Boom.
You hand Bear a Butch Jones cutout.
Yeah. You can bring it to remotes, National RX today, and they'll be there next Friday, too, if you can't make it today. But don't throw away or don't burn your Butch Jones cardboard cutout if you are in a grocery store and they're giving it away.
Yeah, please. I'm sure they already have, right?
Yeah. Or if you see one lying around in a grocery store, though, ask them if you can have it. They don't need it anymore. Throw it in the back of your vehicle. They even fold up. Like, you can get in the trunk, probably.
So have you heard of a canned food drive? We're doing a cardboard Butch drive. That's what this is.
Yeah. For the mental health of Tennessee fans.
Yes.
That's the the benefit here.
But don't steal them from grocery stores if by some chance there's one still up.
Correct.
Ask.
Yes. Gosh. Ask.
Yes.
One of the funniest stories.
BJ says burn them all in effigy for closure. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe that's how we break the curse over Tennessee. A huge offering to the football gods of getting Butch Jones dead. Well, you know, cardboard.
We'll fire him. Literally.
Yeah.
You're fired.
That was a dad joke. Give me a high five.
Can we get some John Curry things so we can fire him, too?
Is there a John Curry cutout we can get?
Maybe just print out his face and put it on the Butch Jones.
Yeah, half and half.
Burn that up, too.
Half and half. Maybe a Shiano one in there for good measure.
There you go.
We just create an army of all the people we hate. So, like, Dan Walkins over here.
The army of the walking fires.
Pat Forty's over here. Kirk Herbstreit's lame face.
I like
the
playing,
sweaty one
I
when
like
he's...
playing darts, too. Yeah.
No. We need like the PTI... studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have that right out here, where it's just a wall of all the people that we hate.
I agree with you. I agree with everything
you
you're saying.
Son
I love
of
you.
Can we put other... No, never
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I've already got a few ideas of some local folks who are going to be going up on the...
the crap list.
On the... that would be hilarious if we had, like, our...
Our bleep list.
A hate board. like a hate board. Where
haters.
An entire wall of people that we don't like.
We just have haters and losers.
Haters.
So, Butch will be in the losers
haters
category.
Haters and losers.
Yeah, haters and losers.
And some people... We could, like, a Venn diagram, and you have them in the middle. Man, they're both a hater and a loser.
I'm going to fathead.com right now. I'm going to make these that we can just stick on the wall, too. This is a great idea. Love it. Tweet us at Fox Sports Knox. If you have one, we'd love...
If you have one or can acquire one, please let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to get some more of these. And if you have ideas of, things we should do with it, you can tweet us at Fox Sports Knox on that as well. We'll come back. We'll get back into some NFL football. Titans-Patriots talk next on the program. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Tighten up. Here we go. Tomorrow night, 8:15. Our own John Reed to Tennessee Titans. Good luck. If they make a magical run this year, like if they go to the Super Bowl and John Reed can't make the actual Super Bowl and they lose,
can we
send him to every game next year, don't we?
Do we need to apply for a media pass like right now?
For the Super Bowl?
Can we get one?
No.
They give out like 1,000.
Do you know how many people apply for that?
Probably at least 1,000.
Probably like
if they're giving out that many, I'll say at least 1,000.
They have people from other countries come in to call the game.
Buddy, like, Fox Sports.
Yeah, we are Fox. Wait, does Fox have the Super Bowl? I don't think they do.
I think it's NBC this year.
We'll have it on the radio.
Yeah.
We'll tell them we're a radio affiliate. They have to give us one.
Yeah, man. We're airing the game. We got to have a guy here for updates and live call-ins.
By the way, if you want to sponsor the game on the radio this year, still got some open spots, so hit us up.
Your ads on the Super Bowl?
Imagine how expensive Super Bowl commercials are on TV. We can get you radio right here.
Hurting the business, but who listens to the Super Bowl on the radio? It's like the most watched sporting event of all time.
I know.
What's the radio?
No, you do the same, like what you do with the Vols games, like they used to do back in the day with the war. You turn down the TV.
So it would be Tirico this year then if it's NBC, right?
I don't quote me
on
NBC.
So Tirico and, I don't know.
I'm trying to think who's calling it for Westwood One. Who will have on the radio call?
Oh, I don't know.
They're really good.
Yeah, like they are.
If you've heard any of the NFL games on the station this year, I mean,
they're
Kevin Harlan.
Yeah,
and
Harlan's the man.
Ian Eagle was doing one the other day. I was like, I feel like I can see this game in my head. They're so good. So I'm not sure who will be on the radio call, but we will have the Super Bowl, and we have all the playoff games for you this weekend. That's probably a much more valuable piece of information because you may not be able to sit down and watch all four of these games. You might have to run some errands Sunday afternoon. And you can hear Jacksonville, Pittsburgh here, or New Orleans, Minnesota, you know, whatever. Tennessee, New England, though, 8:15. Davey's got us all fired up with the Titans two-step there.
You're welcome, Buckethead.
Sounded pretty good, really.
ready to rock and roll.
Those are some fat bars, yo.
We talked a lot about what the Titans have to do. Is there anything weird they can do? Like in basketball.
Yeah, winning would be pretty weird if they did that.
They could make the exotic Smash Mouth actually exotic.
You know what that really means.
Neither do the Titans, so let's hope they figure it out.
Who's the backup quarterback?
Am I crazy
right now
to think this could be
Matt Castle, really
high-scoring game?
Matt Castle went 11-5 with the Patriots. He
knows all their secrets. Maybe that's the key to the game.
That's actually not – I mean, I know it's been a long time. It can't hurt, though, if you kind of know what they like to do typically. You know, you can kind of figure that out. I don't know. 13.5 seems like a lot. Over and under is 48, though. I don't know. I think this could be a pretty high scoring game. Maybe I'm way off base here. But the New England defense has not been particularly great. I mean, I get it. They've won a lot of games, but I mean, we mentioned it. The catch in the Steelers game probably should have happened. That would have given the Steelers, you know, over 30 points. They gave up 27 to the Dolphins in a loss. They did, you know, earlier in the season hold the Bills to 3. I don't know. Again, we talked about this yesterday. The Titans have to take advantage of scoring opportunities because New England gives up a bunch of yards, but they are pretty good at not giving up points. They force you to kick field goals. They play really, really well in the red zone. Tennessee's going to have to figure out a way to be consistent, you know, once they cross the 30-yard line, which is interesting because, and I know last week we almost had the streak snapped, and maybe you just go ahead and chalk it up as a red zone interception because they were on the 21. But Marcus Mariota, throughout his career, has not thrown a true red zone interception. That's going to need to be a theme tomorrow if they want to win because I think they're going to be able to get there. If you can put points on the board and hopefully find the end zone, obviously that's going to be a really big key. I personally like a running quarterback a lot in the red zone because it gives you the run-pass option on a rollout. You know, if he sees a lane, he can tuck it and go. Gives you a little bit more versatility. You get the option to kind of run a play that looks like it's going one way and it actually ends up going the other because Mariota keeps it or doesn't or, you know, whatever the case may be. But they're just going to have to play really well. I mean, I hate to be the simplicity, prognosticator here, but don't turn the football over. Allow Derrick Henry to try and pepper up New England's defensive line. And then allow Mariota to take what he sees and either relay that to the coaching staff with some input or just allow him to call the plays altogether because the Titans offense is better when Marcus Mariota is calling the plays. You know, the weather in Foxborough not supposed to be particularly terrible. It will be chilly, but it will not be, you know, -5 with 8 feet of snow. It's going to be a lot like what they played in last week. you know, 40s, 30s, maybe high 20s by the end of the game, but dry, or at least mostly dry. The field might be wet because I think it's supposed to rain in the morning, but it's not going to rain during the game. So all of these, you know, you remember those old Peyton games with the Colts, and he goes to Foxborough, and it's snowing sideways, or it's on the field, and the ball just slipping out of his hand. That's not going to be a problem tomorrow. I mean, that's not an excuse. The Patriots, we don't know, right, whether or not the ESPN article is legit. It certainly seems legit. But even if it is legit, we don't know if that's going to necessarily impact the way they coach and play in this football game. But I don't know if I want to say you got nothing to lose, because if you lose, your season's over. But Titans, house money a little bit, right? I mean,
yeah, they got nothing to lose.
You made the playoffs. Great comeback win over the Chiefs. And while I think everybody would love to see you know, another roll of the dice this week and hopefully you let it ride, if they were to lose to the Patriots, I don't think anybody's gonna bear. I mean, I don't think they're gonna get embarrassed. Maybe if they got absolutely just killed, you know, the narrative changes. But I think people are pretty pleased with Malarkey in the playoffs, pleased with the Titans. It's a nice stepping stone for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years, hopefully.
Yeah, no one's expecting them to win, so lay it all out on the line. Like, you shouldn't have no pressure on yourself.
Right.
I don't know if there's going to be a single national media member pick them to win the game.
No one did last week.
Randy Moss did.
Oh, I forgot about Randy
Moss. And then he did a nice little video for the Titans Twitter account right after the game. It was like 20 names. Of they kind of combined all the national guys. And the one guy who said Titans, Randy Moss, because he played here for like 8 days.
He almost had a touchdown with three teams in the same season. I remember that. They kept trading him, and Jeff Fisher claimed him off waivers. And it was against Miami, and he actually caught it in the end zone, but he got called for an offensive pass interference, so he didn't end up getting it.
Can't believe they called that on him. He used to always get away with that.
Poor guy. Poor Randy Moss.
They wouldn't have caught it if he was in Foxborough.
I know. They never did.
That's true. Titans and Patriots, the nightcap tomorrow. I think you got to – I know the article and the rift and all that stuff's a thing. There's also just the fact that a lot of times the teams that have the bye start slow.
True.
So the Titans, if they can come out and play their absolute best football they've played all year to start the game, maybe they got a shot.
Yeah, they. I mean, I said this yesterday. They can't do what they did against Kansas City.
No.
You can't get down.
They can't turn it over.
You can't get down 14 points against the Patriots. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a single game this season where they actually took an early lead. I can't think of a single game.
They're due.
There you go.
Yeah,
let's be optimistic.
Yeah, it's not that they don't know how to do it. It's that they're due.
They're due.
Like, even when they destroyed Jacksonville in the first game this season, they like. Halftime score is like 6-3 or something really low like that.
No, they usually do well coming out in the third quarter. I will say this. For most of the season, their halftime adjustments have been pretty good. That's usually when they play their best, which, you know, to counter the whole they got to play well to start, you also got to play well in crunch time. You got to play well right when the game's on the line and there's, you know, money time. And they've done that. It has not been pretty at times, but it has been effective. And They certainly shouldn't be exhausted over this last stretch run where they did not play particularly well. They should have some pretty good football left in them.
I know that everybody wants the next, like, Sean McVay now, the next, you know, young coach that can turn around your team quickly and win big and have an explosive offense. But now that you're in the playoffs and you're this deep with the Titans, it might not be a bad thing. This Dick LeBeau running your – I mean, he's seen everything. He's been in these types of situations before. It might not be the worst thing to have some journeyman type of staffers – preparing a Titans team that's going to have some players on it that have never been in this position before, kind of tell them what it's going to be like, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know if it's exactly a recipe for an upset, but we can hope. It'll be fun to watch and see how it goes down. We'll come back with more on the flip side. Stick with us. You're listening to 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Welcome back into the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, your Silverado truck champions, up to $14,000 off on the Chevy Silverados right now, and 2018's 0% financing. You can make that happen at Mountain View Chevy right off I-24, downtown Chattanooga, and online. You can shop all the inventory no matter where you are, mtnviewchevy.com. And if you find the vehicle you want, give them a call. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Can make the drive down to Chattanooga if you're in the Knoxville area,
or any place in between. I've done that before to get the best deal on a vehicle, and it's not a Chevy, unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. We're talking the NFL playoffs. The weird thing that's happened in the NFL recently, obviously, if you make the playoffs, that's your entire focus. If you don't make the playoffs, the entire focus is on resetting for the next year, and a lot of that means you fire your coach or some of your coaches and you bring in new ones. For the Oakland Raiders, I guess they're still the Oakland Raiders for, what, one more year, it was a huge win that they were able to lock down John Gruden. I mean, you know.
But
Davis family couldn't even contain their excitement. He dropped an F-bomb right in the opening press conference.
What did he say? It's a big bleeping deal? Yeah. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, us getting John Gruden's a big bleeping deal. That's the guy. Imagine Phil Fulmer saying that with Jeremy Pruitt. It's a big bleep deal, okay?
All right.
That'd be Pruitt saying that.
Yeah, I know. But
I don't know. Fulmer might be an all right guy. I never really listened. I think Fulmer's an okay guy.
Yeah, he is. I'm hearing him say that back.
Okay.
Apparently now, though, the NFL is looking into the Raiders' hiring process when they got John Gruden because they may have violated the Rooney Rule.
Yeah. What the Raiders are saying is that John Gruden had essentially agreed to become the next coach of the Oakland Raiders before they ever even fired Jack Del Rio, thus, I guess, negating the fact that they would have to hold interviews in general. I mean, if you have – like, this is – it's a strange situation because I totally believe in the premise of the Rooney Rule. But if you know you want John Gruden and you only want John Gruden – and your first call is to John Gruden, and you get John Gruden, is it really beneficial to anyone to then conduct completely meaningless interviews? Is it important to then, waste people's time by having them interview for a job that they will never get under the current circumstances? The premise is good, but this is a slightly different situation because it seems to me Oakland said, we might fire Jack Del Rio, we might not. If we can get Gruden, we'll fire Jack Del Rio. Other than that, maybe we just keep Jack Del Rio for one more year. I don't know. I mean, Jack Del Rio, obviously Derek Carr gets hurt again, and their season does not go the way many thought it would go. They were some people picked them to go to the Super Bowl in the preseason. Very, very high on the Raiders. I don't know, man. If you go after the number one target, and he's your number one guy, and it's the only guy you would even fire your coach for, and he says yes, and then you fire your coach, what's the point of interviewing anybody else?
Those are all the good. Those are all the right questions. I mean, for those of you that may have not heard what the Rooney Rule is, it requires teams to interview at least one minority candidate as part of an open process. That's it. You have to interview.
This just doesn't seem like it was really an open process.
This wasn't the rule is that the process has to be open and you have to interview one minority candidate. What's really makes this even more interesting is that the Raiders general manager, Reggie McKenzie, is African American. His son, Khalil McKenzie, just played here at Tennessee.
He played at Tennessee. Both of them did. Yeah, and his brother.
And declared for the NFL draft recently.
Reggie's brother, not Khalil's brother. His brother plays for like USC or something.
Reggie McKenzie said earlier this week that he did interview two minority candidates before Gruden's hiring was announced. Those candidates were Oakland tight ends coach Bobby Johnson and USC offensive coordinator T. Martin.
Interesting.
The problem, I think, is where Mark Davis, the owner, said that Tuesday after introducing Gruden as the team's new coach, that he believed Gruden was all in to take the job during a meeting they had on Christmas Eve.
I'm excited, man.
They didn't fire Jack Del Rio until a week later, and then they hired Gruden on January the 6th.
A meeting on Christmas Eve? Jeez, John.
Was it at a local restaurant with his back to a glass window? Like,
I'm staying away from it.
The Raiders.
I'm trying to be nice, Hodges, and you're trying to pull the evil out of me on this Friday, trying to pull the hatred out. I'm not going to let you do
it. I've heard some people make the argument that, well, even if you know who you're going to hire, you should still, you know, interview, fulfill the Rooney Rule, and even maybe go above and beyond, because when you interview minority candidates that might not be considered for other jobs, it gives them a better profile. It's like, oh, that team considered this guy. Maybe we should consider this guy next year.
Yeah, they also didn't hire that guy. So it's like,
but if you don't get the job, is it a good thing?
Like right now, T. Martin is interviewed for Georgia Southern. He had a phone call with Tennessee, had a really bad game plan against USC, and apparently interviewed with Oakland, and he hasn't gotten any of these jobs. Does that really make T. Martin look better, or does it look like he doesn't know how to interview? Like right now, do we think T. Martin's stock is higher now than it was 2 years ago? Because I sure don't.
I think it depends on. I think it depends on the guy. I've seen some. I do think there's some minority coaches in the NFL that are really good at what they've done. They've been at one team for a while, and it might be a good thing that one team interviews them and says, "Hey, we think this guy's been so good with this position group or this coordinator job that he should be a candidate. Oh, you know, he didn't get the job, but he was one of our top three. And then later on, maybe the next year, the year after that, they get another head coaching job." We've seen more minority, you know, head coaches recently, and obviously everybody, you know, wants to see more in that regard. But it is really odd. Like, if you know who you're going to hire before you even fire the last guy, it's hard to fulfill this, and it feels like even if you do, that it's being unfair to the people you're interviewing.
Do you think, it's to both of you, that if Davis and McKenzie know they're not getting Gruden, they even fire Del Rio?
That's what I was saying. I don't think they do. I think this was a, you know, cart horse situation. We got this. Domino one has fallen. Now we go two. If not, it never gets undone, and you probably just keep Del Rio. Unless you think there's just a better target out there. I mean, we see a lot of NFL teams, they fire somebody, and then it's like, now what? We're gonna punish Oakland for actually having a plan and going after the guy they wanted?
Yeah,
Del Rio's
sense.
Not a bad coach. He probably just got a little bit unlucky in Oakland because, like I said, Derek Carr's been hurt multiple times. I mean, I don't think that they fired Jack Del Rio because he's terrible. I think they fired Jack Del Rio because they got John Gruden.
Yeah,
because,
I mean, Del Rio got him to the playoffs.
I know,
and
yeah.
It just so happened that Matt McGloin had to be your quarterback because your starter, as you mentioned, got hurt.
I think this is a very different situation. I think it needs to be looked at a case-by-case basis. I think it's really it's just interesting because, as you mentioned, you know, I don't think the Oakland Raiders have any type of issue with hiring an African-American head coach. Their GM is African-American. Much of their staff is African-American. Who was the coach they had before Jack Del Rio? Was he not African-American too?
When was Tom Cable?
Is there anybody in between him and I don't know.
They've gone through a lot of coaches. So
yeah, too many.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that this seems like we're trying to like go off the principle of this rule, but we're not really like examining all of the facts. Like
this right? Tom Cable, Hugh Jackson, Dennis Allen.
That's what
Tony
I thought.
Sperano.
I thought Hugh Jackson was there, and I could not remember.
Jack Del Rio.
Was Hugh Jackson there?
2011.
How long was he there? Was
they
just,
went
just
and
one
eight.
Year?
Yeah, they went. Eight
okay,
and eight.
So it was just 1 year. I could have sworn that Hugh Jackson was there, but I didn't feel very good about saying it out loud.
I mean, hell, listen to this. John Gruden was the coach from 98 to 2001. Since then, they've had these head coaches. Bill Callahan, Norv Turner, Art Shell, Lane Kiffin, Tom Cable, Hugh Jackson, Dennis Allen, Tony Sperano, Jack Del Rio, and now, 17 years later, back to John Gruden.
Yeah. Not one coach has lasted longer than 3 years.
Incredible. And Art Shell was the coach there twice. Once in Los Angeles and once in Oakland.
Hugh Jackson did only get 1 year, though. Sad. So did Tony Sperano. But he also went 3-9.
When did Al Davis die?
Lordy, I don't know.
Good question. I don't remember. It's the Raiders. I don't know.
It's a lot of coaches.
No, it's a ton. It's like,
and listen, I'm not trying to make the point that like hiring an African American coach once means you never have to adhere to the Rooney Rule again. I'm just saying I don't think we can look at Oakland and the way they have done hiring in the past and the way their current staff is made up and say Oakland has a race issue when it comes to hiring football personnel.
It's John Gruden.
I know
the GM is African American. It seems, I don't know. The NFL seems to get all this stuff wrong. And so they'll probably get this one wrong too. They'll probably figure out a way to make everyone mad. They'll probably figure out a way to make the people that are for the Rooney Rule mad and make the Raiders mad.
Well,
and
this is America in 2018. That's what happens. Everybody just gets mad.
Yeah, that's probably what'll happen.
Al Davis died in October of 2011, so halfway through Hugh Jackson's only season is when their owner passed away. And so I guess Mark obviously wanted a new coach. They went 8-8, which is better than all the other coaches who just had one season there.
That's a good point. I don't know. And then they're moving to Vegas. Like, this thing, this will be a fun one to follow. Just as someone who's never really loved or hated the Raiders, they're just kind of the Raiders. Like,
John Gruden living in Vegas. What could go wrong?
Final segment of the program here, live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. One quick note on the NFL as we kind of wrap this up. Le'Veon Bell came out and said if he gets franchise tagged again, like, he's done. He's either going to sit out or just retire.
I admire the move. Power move. Hey, if you do this to me again, I'm not playing. I'm retiring for a year, and then I'm coming back for somebody else.
Just get
the numbers
straight.
It is weird to think that he'd rather sit and not get paid for a year than play and just get paid at a slightly lower rate. Odd.
Yeah. But, I mean,
I guess he's got endorsements, but he's not going to make that much money when he's not playing.
I'm not going to settle for anything. I know what I do and what I bring to the table. I'm not going out here getting the ball 400 times if I'm not getting what I feel I'm valued at.
Man, I get it. The franchise tag is pretty bizarre, frankly. Like, it is kind of amazing, the premise. I mean, it makes sense, but it's tough to hit superstars with this thing and essentially find a way to pay your best players, what is it, the average of the top 10 at the position or something like that?
It starts off with the top 10, and then if it goes the year above, it becomes the top 5.
Okay.
Or 20% more than
there's a lot of...
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still good money, but yeah, I guess like the market value is still being kind of ignored a little bit here.
It'd be fine if you paid them that amount and had it in a longer-term deal. It's just the fact that it's only 1 year and the fact that football players, everyone knows now how fragile they are and how quick you could just fall off a cliff, either with performance or injury.
What does the guaranteed money look like on a franchise tag? Is that different?
100%.
Or is it? Okay,
yeah,
it is 100% guaranteed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was high. I just couldn't remember what it was.
It's not a bad deal.
But it's a one-year deal.
If you're Le'Veon Bell and you look around at other running backs who get multi-year deals with more guaranteed money, you're like... I'm better than that guy.
If I get hurt, but I'm on a 5-year contract, I'm going to get something for the next 5 years while I reassess my future. Right. Le'Veon Bell, big paycheck of guaranteed money, but if he gets hurt in first game next year and they drop him, or if it's career ending, he's in big trouble.
Especially with running backs, because we know the shelf life
exactly
at the age of 30, before and after, and what that looks like.
I think he's only like 26.
No, he's a young guy, but I mean,
25.
Still,
he's 25.
Still,
nuts. Crazy. Well, Dave, you got this crazy story out of Russia you've been wanting to get to.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I'll read you the article in the first line, then we'll dive into it.
Love Russia. Big fan of Russia.
Man reportedly rammed stolen tank into supermarket, swipes wine. And the first line just reads, he wanted to get tanked.
That's not creative.
I mean, that's
dumb creative, right?
I mean, what's the old you don't use a cannon to kill a mosquito.
Right, yes.
I don't think you're supposed to use a military tank to rob and he wanted a bottle of wine. That's it.
That's
what
all
he
ended up taking. I'm pretty sure he was already drunk whenever he
couldn't
made
you load
the first
up the tank
decisions
with like all the wine in the entire store?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a timing issue though. You got to get out of there before the cops like box you in.
Gonna say
but,
this.
The tank could just run.
The tank, not the greatest getaway vehicle, although it is immune to, like road spikes and, you can't flatten the tire on a tank. So
bullets.
It does have its benefits, but getaway speed, not exactly at the top of the attribute list on a tank.
A Russian man stole an armored vehicle north of the Arctic Circle and rammed it into a supermarket where he stole a bottle of red wine, according to the BBC.
That was a bottle.
North of the Arctic Circle?
That's what it says.
They have grocery stores up there? You don't have to just, like, fly in your...
Hey, you
like, you don't helicopter in your supplies for the year? North of the Arctic Circle. Was this recently?
I believe so. I mean, the article was released 2 days ago.
If you're north of the Arctic Circle this time of year, I think that means the sun never sets. I've heard of an all-nighter, but this is an all-dayer for this old boy. He
needed
trouble.
More wine.
To sleep. It's too bright outside. I'm just trying to get some damn sleep.
Should have just sold the tank on the black market. He could have had all the wine he wanted. But then maybe he couldn't
get
to the
store.
Again,
probably a hard item to sell on the black market. Probably, again, the getaway for the tank would be tough.
The comments on this thing were gold because somebody's
also,
that's not a tank. That's a personnel. It's like, okay,
they'd want the title also on the underground market. Tough to come up with a title for a tank that you stole.
Do you have a title? Yeah,
that's the most Russian thing ever. You steal something to go steal more alcohol. Like,
see, I would have probably just stolen the wine. That's just me. If you're gonna steal one of the two or both. Probably just going to go with the wine. Why warm you up if you drink it?
How badass
you get the
would
flush.
It be, though, just to smash through the window and walk in, get a bottle, go get back in your tank and drive off?
I don't know if the 15 minutes of fun and glory would be worth the 15 years he's about to spend in a Russian prison.
He's gone viral.
Russian prison. Russian prison. By the way, I thought they drink vodka up there. They drink wine in Russia?
I doubt he's going to prison. He'll probably just get, you know,
is that
two-tapped.
Or is this a classy guy? I feel like if you're going to steal a tank, you'd be, you know, like a 100-proof vodka man. Wine? Was it white wine?
Red.
Red.
A bottle of red wine.
A bottle? He's kind of a wimp. A bottle
of red wine. At the grocery store? Like, how nice a bottle could
it
be?
I mean, I've had nights where I drink a bottle of red wine, and this guy's Russian and stole a tank?
I want to know where he got the tank. That's the more interesting
story. I
want to
know what kind of wine it was. Was it the good stuff?
Probably not. It's Russia. North of the Arctic Circle, as you pointed out.
He got
got
a bottle of Barefoot for $8.99 he stole.
Talk Sports is up next. Keep it right here on Fox Sports Knoxville for more Fan Run Radio. We hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday for Houston and Davey. I'm Nate. We're out of here.
Go Titans.